Text number 16. Read the synonyms first.
They.
To.
And.
Brahma Radham.
To the lake known as Brahma
Radha. Nitaha.
Brought.
Magnaha.
Submerged.
Krishnena.
By Krishna.
Cha.
And.
Udritaha.
Lifted out.
Dadrishuhu.
They saw.
Brahmanaha.
Of the absolute truth.
Lokam.
The transcendental planet.
Yatra.
Where.
Akuraha.
Akura.
Adyagat.
Saw.
Pura.
Previously.
Te tu brahmahradam nita.
Magna Krishnena
Chodrita.
Dadrishu
Brahmano Lokam.
Yatra Kruro Jagatpura.
Te tu
brahmavadam
nita.
Magna
Krishnena
Chodrita.
Dadrishu
Brahmano
Lokam.
Yatra Kruro
Jagatpura.
Te tu
Brahma
Hradam Nita.
Magna
Krishnena
Chodrita.
Dadrishu
Brahmano
Lokam.
Yatra
Kuro
Jagatpura.
Te tu Brahma
Hradam Nita.
Magna
Krishnena
Chodita.
Te tu Brahma
Hradam Nita.
Magna
Krishnena Chodita.
Dadrishu
Brahmano
Lokam.
Yatra
Kuro
Jagatpura.
Te tu
Brahma Hradam
Nita.
Magna
Krishnena
Chodita.
Tadrishu
Brahmano
Lokam.
Yatra
Kuro
Jagatpura.
Ladies.
Hey to Brahma
Ramita.
Magna
Krishnena
Chodita.
Brahmano
Lokam.
Yatra
Kuro
Jagatpura.
Te
tu Brahma
Ramita.
Magna
Krishnena
Chodita.
Dadrishu
Brahmano
Lokam.
Yatra
Kuro
Jagatpura.
Translation.
The coward men
were brought
by Lord Krishna
to the Brahma
Radha,
made to
submerge in the
water
and then
lifted up.
From
the same
vantage point
that Akura
saw the spiritual
world,
the coward
men
saw
the planet
of the absolute
truth.
Purport.
The
unlimited
extension
of spiritual
light,
called the
Brahma Jyoti
in text
15,
is
compared to
a lake
called the
Brahma Radha.
Lord
Krishna
submerged
the coward
men in
that lake
in the
sense
that he
submerged them
in the
awareness
of the
impersonal
Brahman.
But then,
as indicated
by the word
udvidaha,
he lifted
them up
to
a higher
understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet. As clearly stated here, Dadrishur Brahmano Lokam. They saw, just as the Kuru did, the transcendental abode of the Absolute Truth. The evolution of consciousness may be briefly summarized as follows. In ordinary consciousness, we perceive and are attracted to the variety of material things. Rising to the first stage of spiritual consciousness, we transcend material variety and focus instead on the undifferentiated one, which lies behind and gives existence to the many. Finally, rising to Krishna consciousness, we find that the absolute spiritual one contains its own eternal variety. In fact, since this world is a mere shadow of eternal existence, we would expect to find spiritual variety within the one, and indeed we do find it in the sacred text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Astute readers may note that the pastime involving Akura takes place later in the Bhagavatam after the present affair with the cowherd men. The reason Shukadev Goswami says Akura saw Vaikuntha Pura previously is that all these incidents took place many years before the conversation between Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Midatam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So we're near the conclusion now of this pastime of Nanda Maharaj being arrested by the henchmen or sheriffs, whatever you call them, of Varuna, and being brought to Varuna Loka, and then being rescued by Krishna. I don't know if it was spoken of before. I did a quick read of this pastime in the Gopal Champu, and there's some very interesting details that aren't in the Bhagavatam. One is that this occurs in Batala Loka, that this is where Varuna is, and there's this huge chasm, like a tunnel, underneath the Yamuna that leads from a lake under the Yamuna to this Batala Loka where Varuna was holding Nanda Maharaj. And when Krishna heard that Nanda Maharaj hadn't come back, he became furious, became very angry. It's described that his normal bluish color became very red, and his eyes were red, and he went to get Nanda Maharaj from Varuna. So he came there, and Varuna had immediately, when he saw Nanda Maharaj, he realized that this was a mistake, because he could tell from his aspect that he was an extremely advanced soul, and he understood who he was, he understood that he was in trouble. Apparently also, Nanda Maharaj, because at the end of the Kadashi, he was meditating on Dwadashi, and he was absorbed in meditating on Narayan. So it appears from the Gopal Champa, if I'm not wrong, that Nanda Maharaj didn't even understand what happened until Krishna came and claimed him. He said, "Where am I?" And, you know, it was like that. So these are some of the interesting details. Then when they came back, Nanda Maharaj told the coward men how Varuna was worshipping Krishna. Now, if you recall, the coward men had never actually seen the demigods worship Krishna. When Indra came down after the Govardhan Leela to offer prayers, that was in a secluded place, right? It was just he and Surabhi and Krishna. So the coward men hadn't actually seen Indra, the main demigod, worship Krishna. So, but now it was no question that this great demigod, Varuna, was worshipping their very Krishna. So they went, "Oh, he must be the Supreme Personality of God." And so this is where they're showing this wonder. And will he show us his original abode? And so that's when Krishna speaks this kind of cryptic verse. Said, people don't understand. Certainly people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires and without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination. It's kind of a double meaning. The idea that, of course, the coward man, the coward women, they're beyond wandering to higher and lower destinations. They've already reached the highest destination, intimate association with Krishna in the loving exchange. There's nothing beyond that. But the effect of yoga maya is that they don't know that Krishna's God. This is the wonder. Maya, has, in general, has the aspect of either making you forget Krishna, as Mahamaya, or making you get closer to Krishna by forgetting that he's God. so that you can intimately relate to them. So the coward men, as you recall with the Indra Yajna, they were still thinking, oh, we have to worship Indra, you know, and take care of the coward community. That's the Vedic culture. And the gopis are worshiping Katyayani, hoping to get their beloved Krishna as their husband, right? So they're worshiping the demigods, but for the sake of Krishna. The coward men wanted the land to prosper for the sake of Krishna, so that things would be very prosperous there. So, but still, they had this idea that there's the gods, you know, and then there's our wonderful Krishna. So this is the first time when suddenly it's revealed to them, oh, yes, the gods are worshiping our Krishna. So there's a little difference here. So the fact they didn't know the real destination, that means that they didn't understand that they're already beyond anything that, you know, that showed the vastness of Vaikuntha and all of these different things. The coward men, being covered by yoga maya, they couldn't understand that they already had reached the highest destination. And this is also by illustration. He takes them up to the Brahma Radha, to the Brahman, and ultimately they see Krishna in the spiritual world. But they all come back down again, and they're completely satisfied where they are. The idea is that to teach it, just like there's several levels that these pastimes are going on. One is just the wonderful, you know, rasika nature of them, the different relationships Krishna is manifesting with all of his friends, with his, those on the parental level, with the gopis, the elder gopis, the younger gopis, the animals, the cows, so forth. This is what's really going on in Vrindavan. It's an ocean of loving exchange. It's just imagine, this is a replica, this is New Raman Reiki. So the idea is this is a dham, because Krishna is being worshipped here, right? And we're evoking, hopefully, our eternal Krishna consciousness, this beautiful deity. This is what it's supposed to be. Now just try to imagine that every plant, you know, every bench, the floor, everything was completely conscious. And these flowers are just in ecstasy to be picked and offered to Krishna. You see? In other words, this is the whole idea, is that in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan, even when Krishna was here, there was nothing going on except every entity, every living soul, in whatever form it may be, expressing their love for Krishna in their unique way, and Krishna reciprocating in his unique way. And so this is what the spiritual world, the ultimate spiritual world is. The awe and reverence is covered so that the sweetest, most attractive manifestation of Krishna, the original form, is in evidence and predominates. So this is what the cowards ultimately experience when they come back to Braj and they're, you know, relating to their intimate friend and son and mother, Krishna. So it is a lesson here. And of course this is the run-up to the Rasa dance. Next chapter, in a few verses, we're going to begin that. And then there's a whole other relationship that's manifest. Now, if you forgive me, we're going to depart a little bit from this pastime. Since this is the special week of the Harinam Mela, culminating in Friday and Saturday with 12-hour kirtans, we've been asked to speak a little bit about the holy name and even given some guidelines. So I'm going to try to follow those guidelines and speak about these things. So here's some of the questions that were asked. In your mind, what purpose does the festival of the holy name serve? Why in my mind? This is, what purpose does the festival have? Of course it's in my mind. Where else is it going to be? So, the festival of the holy name is like so many other festivals. Festivals are primarily a means in which devotees come together to glorify the Lord. If you notice, it's practically, you know, at the drop of a hat, devotees, oh, let's have a festival. And they come together, have a lot of kirtan and prasadam, and they worship the Lord, and this is the way they relate and become ecstatic. Factually, you know, it reminds me of the way, when I went to these japa retreats, you know, japa retreats are a different kind of festival. You meet together, and it's all, you know, focused on japa. There's also kirtan there. And you're also hearing a lot about the holy name. And I forgive me, but when I attended these happened a few years ago. Now I guess they're too expensive, the economy and whatever. But I think this reminds me of the way the temple used to be. You come together, you chant and so forth, and you hear about the holy name, and everyone is, you know, focused on the holy name. And I was always amazed at how after like 4 or 5 days, people come with all kinds of levels. Some people were coming to get back into heart, you know, their japa. You know, some people were coming to refine their japa, whatever. But everyone was blissful because you spent all that time thinking about the holy name, one way or another. You know, it's not your job. You know, people left their job. It's a retreat, retreating from your ordinary life. And throughout the day, you're either chanting Hare Krishna or thinking about improving your chanting or talking with your neighbor about, you know, how you can improve your chanting or hearing some wonderful discourse from Satyananda Swami or whatever. So the fact is that you're thinking about the holy name the whole time. So that's what the festival of the holy name is. It's a chance for as many devotees to come together and just dive into the chanting of the holy name. And gradually, you know, you can hear if you go, you know, several hours, or maybe it's quicker than that for some of you, the mind just eventually gives up. You know, all of it's fighting. I mean, because the conditioned mind is fighting against Krishna. You know, so you're hearing a little bit, then you're thinking something else, then am I comfortable? What are people thinking of me? Whatever your mind is doing, you know, finally it's just, you're hearing the holy name. You know, Madhava is chanting the same tune again and again. And, you know, you don't have to worry about, can you sing the tune? You know the tune. No. Well, that's part of it. And gradually, everyone helps everyone else to focus on the holy name. This is the essence of sadhu sangha. I referred to one verse in the first class I was here, in the 11th canto, when one of the yogendras is explaining the need for a spiritual master. Tasmad gurum papadeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde padeta nishnatam brahman upashamashyam. Very important verse, Prabhupada would constantly quote, that if you're interested in the ultimate good, and we should be as human beings, then you have to approach a guru, and he gives the qualifications right in that verse. Shabde padeta nishnatam brahman upashamashyam. Is that the genuine spiritual master is absorbed in these two aspects of Brahman, of the absolute truth. Shabde, the transcendental sound, the Shastra, and Pare, which is a short word for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme. Completely realizing those two. And Upashamashriya, not a tinge of material desire. This is the main characteristic. So then he goes on and describes, well, what do you do when you approach that guru? You know, and he says, oh, you learn the science of God. I could get the Sanskrit, but you learn the science of God from the spiritual master. And for us, you know, we're so fortunate. Prabhupada's books are there. We can learn directly from Prabhupada the science of God. And we also need other gurus. You know, it's gurus. Vande gurun isha bhaktan. It's the first verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande ham shi guru shi yudhapada. So we have our own guru, Diksha Guru, whatever we're aspiring for, and we also have so many other teachers, which is the basic meaning of guru, who give us instruction. So you learn the science of God, and then you render non-deceptive service, in other words, honest service, and then Krishna gives himself. He's Atmatmado Hari. He likes to give himself to that devotee who's nicely serving his pure devotee. We know that. This is what parampara means. So he goes on, and then he describes the process of devotion. And then he gets to two very important verses, which reminds me of what the samala is all about. It says, parasparana katadam bhagavan yasha parasparana katadam Bhagavad Yasha, mito rati mito stushtir nivrita mito ratmanaha. I'm missing one word there, forgive me. So getting together and hearing and chanting. This includes kirtan. Kirtan is the most important. Hearing, chanting, getting together. Hearing the purifying vibrations about Bhagavan. Pavanam Bhagavad Yasha, that's the word I'm missing. Very important word. Pavanam Bhagavad Gita, the purifying words about vibrations, the holy name. What happens? Mato ratir, one develops loving exchanges between the devotees. Mato stushtit, a common or mutual satisfaction takes place. And nivritti mita atmana, simultaneously become detached from matter. You know, you're helping each other become detached. You're helping each other become satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Then the next verse has a famous line in it, very famous. It says they're continuing in that mood, smarantyak smarayantyascha mito gaugaharam harim bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya tatra utpulikam tanum. So what it says there is that thus remembering Krishna and reminding each other of Krishna. Can that be a more concise, you know, a description of kirtan, sankirtan? You're hearing Krishna, and then you're chanting Krishna, and you're helping others remember Krishna. Smarantyak smarayantyascha. And in this way, mutually, you're worshipping Hari, who is Aga Oga Haram. Aga means sin, or it can also mean pain, difficulty. Oga. You know what Oga is? A great flood, or a mass. We're each carrying, you know, in material life, a great mass of sinful reactions and things from previous lifetimes. But Krishna is Aga Oga Haram. He takes all that away. So they're worshipping Hari, who takes away all these difficulties, negativities. And by this bhakti, sadhana bhakti, this generates bhakti. It generates bhava bhakti. Bhaktya samjatiya bhaktya. And then ecstatic symptoms appear. He mentioned the standing of the arms, and he goes on from there. So this is what the essence of Sankirtan. Sankirtan means coming together, chanting the holy name together, hearing, placing the mind and the heart in the holy name, chanting as sincerely as possible, and in this way enlivening each other in Krishna consciousness. This is the Yuga Dharma. We need each other in order to progress in Krishna consciousness. This wonderful process that is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's what the festival of the holy name, that's what the purpose is. Can you explain what Sankirtan means? Sankirtan is the congregational chanting. It means there's kirtan and sankirtan. This prefix san, you know, really means total, like sannyas. There's nyas and then there's sannyas, right? Nyas means giving things up. Sannyas means giving, totally giving it up. Kirtan means chanting, you know, very nice. But sankirtan means total chanting, you know, and that's why also the dancing is important, because that's part of what. Right, japa is another thing. Right? There's no dancing in japa. Sometimes there is. I remember I used to do that when I was falling asleep. I'd jump up and down and chant japa in front of this picture that Murlidhar just painted. You remember that Ragatmaga in Brooklyn? He had just painted this picture of Krishna and Balaram entering the forest of Vrindavan, and you know, and this calf is like whistling up to Krishna. It's a famous painting. I would dance a little bit in front of it. Stay awake. But generally speaking, the dancing is for sankirtan. Now that dancing is important. You know, so much of our false ego is absorbed in this gross body. A lot of it's, you know, in the subtle body, but the gross body. I'm this body, you know. And, you know, you have something called muscle memory. It's like I'm always amazed, you know, to see the shambhara or seeing others play the drum. You know, incredible beats are going on. And I'm sure he's not thinking. You're not thinking this beat, that beat. It's just happening. Muscle memory. I had that, like, played the recorder from when I was 5 years old. You know, for years I haven't planned to pick it up. It's still in there. The muscle memory. So this, by the same token, so much of our sense of false ego is there, the bodily concept of life. So what are we going to do? We use the body to glorify Krishna. The dancing, raising of the arms, moving. Prabhupada taught that. Lord Chaitanya taught that. You know, revolutionary. And when Lord Chaitanya introduced that, it was revolutionary, right? And that's, you know, it's an important part. So that's what Sankirtan means. Coming together to glorify Krishna, especially by chanting the holy name, chanting and dancing, and in this way experiencing a taste of transcendence, you know. And that you know, is so essentially, they're going to ask me about japa too. In my experience, they work together. You know, when you do a lot of a sankirtan, we used to go out, I remember when I joined, 3 hours a day. That was like the rigor, you know, in book and before that more hours, 6-8 hours. That helps the japa. The mind becomes saturated with hearing and chanting. Then when they're chanting japa, you know, you can look at it this way. You're getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He's giving you the ability to focus on the holy name, the sweetness of the holy name. You know, the japa helps sankirtan helps you. So what's the best way in your personal experience to avoid committing the 10 offenses while chanting and singing the Lord's name? Well, many of those offenses, I think, you generally don't commit them while you're chanting. You commit them before, and then it becomes more difficult to chant. when I don't know about you, but when I'm chanting japa, I'm generally not thinking, of course, some people do, equating that name, you know, with the name of the demigods. If you really don't know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you think, oh yeah, I'll chant Hare Krishna a little bit. There's some groups that do that, then I'll chant something else. Actually, before I joined, I was in a group that did that. Now we're going to do the chanting. Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. We chant that, and then a couple other things, and then we get to Hare Krishna. You know, so that's obviously an offense. And while chanting Hare Krishna, at that point, I and everyone else are thinking, oh, this is just another name. So that's the second offense, right? But the idea is that, for instance, maintaining material attractions, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So what happens there is that the material attractions are there, and you're yielding to that at a different part of your day. Then when it comes time to chant, those attractions are drawing your mind away, right? The things that you did that are out of Krishna consciousness. This is what is what slows the progress perfection of the chanting. It's a big science. You know, it's actually a science of Krishna consciousness. Lately, I've been listening to, I highly recommend these tapes by Srila Prabhupada, Yoga System tapes. As some of you have heard those. They were made into a book eventually. And, Krishna consciousness is a process of yoga. Meaning that it's a process of controlling the senses, controlling the mind. That's not all it is. Ultimately, there's no yoga. You don't see the gopis or the gopas sitting in meditation. You know, you don't even hear about them chanting japa. They're not doing any of that. They're just ecstatically in love with Krishna. They'll, you know, chant his name in separation, and like that. But the point is, they don't need to work on meditating on Krishna. But we do. So what is it that we have to work on with yoga? There's this verse in the sixth chapter. I memorized it now, I forgot. But it basically is a very simple verse. The mind is the source of liberation and the source of bondage. The mind attached to material things is a source of bondage, and the mind attached to transcendence, to Krishna, is a source of liberation. This isn't in the Gita, this is in a purport. Manasastu. Yes. It's the cause of bondage and liberation. Our mind now, it's a very scientific thing, we're full of so many thoughts of sense gratification. The present life, previous life, they bubble up. We're actually living with our worst enemy. Right? Mind is an enemy or a friend. So Krishna consciousness, as every practice of yoga, is also involved in training that mind. How do we do it? With the intelligence. The intelligence has to bring the mind under control, and so that the senses can be used to train that mind so that it will no longer think of sense gratification, just think of Krishna. Right? So it's a struggle, it's a sadhana. As we learn from the Upadeshamrita, Sat Krishna Nama Chaditari Satapya Vidya Pitto Patapta Rasanasya Narochikanu. It says the actual nature of the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna is very, very sweet. You know? Does anyone need to be preached to eat a glubjiman? You know? When the, you know, the feast comes along, even the ordinary, you know, conditioned souls will take part in that because it's attractive, it's sweet. But sweeter than the sweetest, mararam mararebyopi mangalebyobi mangalam bhavanam bhavanebyobi harinama vakevalam, of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. This is the realization of the great saints. It's all over the Shastra, tunde tandamanita ting. You know, Rupa Goswami prays. Why do I have just one tongue, one mouth to chant His holy name. It's so sweet. Let me have millions of them. But why don't we feel that way? Because our senses, especially our tongue in this case, is covered by the bile of ignorance. So we have this jaundice. So what's sweet tastes bitter. You know? Have you ever noticed sometimes, you know, people come to a Sunday feast for the first time, you know? The devotees are chanting and chanting and chanting, and they're just watching. They're not going to chant. You know, you go out on the street, right? You've probably had a million experiences. Come on, chant. No, they generally dance, right, because of beat. But the chant is a real step forward, you know? And maybe they'll chant once or twice, but, you know, okay, try it. You know? But the great devotee, they never want to stop chanting. You know? The chant for the 64 rounds. Why, Prabhupada, I heard it on the tape. I said, why 16 rounds? Why not 1,600 rounds? Why only 16? It's just a minimum, right? So what changes? Why is one thing bitter to somebody and the same thing is sweet? It's because our consciousness changes. So the rest of the verse, it says, Kramad, step by step, isn't it wonderful that if one chants anyway, in other words, use the intelligence to discipline the mind, which is saying, okay, that's enough chanting, then no, it's not. I've committed to chanting so many rounds. I'm going to go to the festival. I'm going to, you know, get into the kirtan. My mind is going, I'm going to stay here, you know. It says after some time, that becomes as sweet as anything. The real nature, this is the whole point. We're in a diseased condition of life, you know. We're thinking, you know, like Akura says, he refers to Akura in this verse, right? So Akura saw the spiritual world, and he offered prayers. He's famous for his prayers. He has four or five sets of prayers in the Bhagavatam. So these prayers I especially was attracted to, the ones where he's in that lake in the Yamuna, and he's offering to, you know, Vishnu there, actually, manifestation of Krishna. So one of the things he says there, he identifies with the conditioned souls. You know, he says, I'm also attached. You know, I'm seeing the unreal, which is like a dream, as real. You know, my house, my money, etc. You know, I'm thinking this is real, when it's just like a dream. And what's the result? Anityanatma dukeshu viparya matiryaham dvandra ramas tamo vishto najane patanapriyam. Everything is reversed. This word viparya is used, you know. We're upside down in the banyan tree. It says, that which is temporary, anitya, I'm taking to be permanent. My situation in this world, right? Isn't that, you know, we're thinking, well, this is who I am now, right? Even if you're 8 years old, I'm constitutionally eight, and these are my parents, they'll be there forever, right? I like to tell this story, you've probably heard it before. When I was in Miami, you remember, Brother Bolas, we were on the beach, right? And just before I came, they built this big boardwalk. It was like $1 billion or something to build a boardwalk in. And so there that people could walk back and forth, you know, on the board. All right, so I'm actually, you know, 100 feet from the water. And that's the hotel. And so I'm working in Bhagavatam, maybe so I look out the window. And the you know, Miami Beach, I think that part of it is still famous. You have South Beach is another world. We won't get into that. But we were little north of South Beach, and there's a lot of elderly people who retire in the hotels, and they live there. You know, wealthy people from New York, they come down to retire. So they would walk on the boardwalk, right, and get a little fresh air, walk down, you know, you'd see them. And then just 30 feet from them on the beach, you'd have these Brazilians come up, wealthy Brazilians, young people, you know, the cream of the, you know, of the society, economically. And they'd be playing volleyball or something, you know, on the beach. So the bronze bodies, healthy, you know, and everything. And there's 30 feet from there, there's a doddering, you know, age people. So the young people are not thinking, that's my future. They're not thinking like that. They think they're constitutionally old, and I'm constitutionally young. And that's the way it's going to be forever, isn't it? So Krishna consciousness, you know, you're supposed to wake up from that dream. So this is saying, anityana, that which is temporary, I'm thinking to be permanent. That which is not me, the body, I'm thinking to be myself. Those which is sources of misery, I'm thinking to be sources of pleasure. And this is the root of the whole problem. This is what Akura is saying. And the result of that is, I'm trying to, dvandva ramo, I'm trying to enjoy the dualities of this world, and going further and further into darkness, tamo vishtu. And then the greatest tragedy, because he's speaking to Krishna after all, he's praying. Na jane patmana kriyam. I don't realize that you're my dearest Lord, my beloved, and so forth. I've completely forgotten that. Just like a fool who's standing, visualize a desert with an oasis in it, and someone is standing on the edge of the oasis looking out in the desert, very thirsty. Next to his feet is a nice pool of water, but unfortunately it's overgrown by grasses and whatever grows in the pool, so he can't see it. So he's thirsty, he runs out, and there's a nice mirage out there, a nice, you know, lake, you see. He runs out into the desert. So we're like that. We have this ocean of bliss in our hearts, every one of us, reservoir of pleasure. Krishna's there, right? He's the Premanjana, he's in there. That means wherever Krishna is, the whole spiritual world is in our heart. Prabhupada said, wherever Krishna is, all of his associates are there. So, but we forgot that. We're looking outside at the reflection. This is a tragedy, you know. So to learn again to perceive the spirit, even in this world of matter, this requires training. And the most efficacious training is the chanting of the holy name, both in kirtan and in japa. So I kind of got far afield there, but so eventually Akura, you know, he complains, oh, I can't control my mind. He's saying, in spite of knowing this, I don't have the strength to control my mind. I'm being whipped around by the senses. But what to do? So he throws himself at the lotus feet at Krishna's feet. Even though it's very difficult, you know, for someone to approach your lotus feet who's contaminated like myself, by your mercy it can happen. And then, by association of a guru, turning to a guru, one can come to think about you all the time. This is a statement of a guru. Check it out. So for us, this process of approaching Krishna means approaching the holy name, taking it seriously. This is really the essence of our sadhana. And so much is there in the kirtan and the japa. And to avoid committing offenses, well, that's where, you know, the ability to focus on the whole, on the chanting, it comes in. That's where the sadhana is. Bring the mind back, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter. And eventually, because Krishna is truly all attractive, you know, you'll begin to experience some of that pure nectar of the name, especially in an attractive, kirtan, sankirtan, where everyone's chanting together. And it's important that, you know, you see each other. When you see someone who's having, blissful in the chanting, that also rubs off on you. That also will give you inspiration. So that's how we can avoid the offenses while chanting. In your experience, what's the best or easiest way to chant japa? Early in the morning is certainly the best time. Japa is so important. Don't think that, you know, or always remember, and I wanted to share this verse with you, Lord Chaitanya also chanted japa. And he prescribed his followers, they have to chant a number of times, count the number of times. And his standard was 64 rounds. The famous passage in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, I will not accept an offering from anyone who is not a lakhpati. You know the joke? And everyone thinking he meant, oh, 100,000 rupees. And his followers, were, you know, none of them were very rich, and he said, oh, no, he didn't accept any offering. So he laughed, and he says, no, not 100,000 rupees. 100,000 names a day, which is more or less, actually, 64 rounds is a little more than that, but it's understood. So they all started chanting 64 rounds a day. So Prabhupada, you know, he started us on that, but devotees said, Prabhupada, if we do that, we will not be able to do anything else. You know, you can imagine him chanting 64 rounds and those big red beads just coming off, you know, off the street, you know, coming down from the latest high, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That will take 27 hours a day. So he brought it down 32 and then 16, right? 16, absolute minimum. So the best way, you know, to chant japa, all the other things we do, other than japa, the rest of our day, will come out in the japa. Because the mind, you know, if you've done all kinds of nonsense and you think you're going to sit there and chant good japa, it doesn't work like that. You're bringing that into your japa period. And then there's also the whole personal aspect, that you get the mercy of the holy name. If you serve the holy name, you do a harinam, you do sankirtan, you're preaching, you're doing your service nicely, then Krishna will give you more taste for the holy name. You know, the holy name is a person. Here's that verse I promised you. From Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, these are part of the Sushloka Shatakam. He wrote 100 verses when Lord Chaitanya revealed his six-arm form, you know. And so Sarvabhauma was in so much ecstasy, and he's such a scholar, he wrote these verses. I think he has a wind. And one of them is a great verse. There are many like this. This is the one I was attracted to. Hare Krishna Rama Nama Gana Dana Karanim Shoka Moha Loba Tapa Sava Vidna Nashinim Pada Padma Lumbha Bhakta Vinda Bhakti Dainim Gorda Murta Masunami Nama Sutra Dharani. So Nama Sutra Dharani means he's holding this knotted thread for chanting japa. This is the way Lord Chaitanya would chant sometimes on a knotted thread, 108 knots. And so what this, it says, Hare Krishna Rama Nama Gana Dadaka. Lord Chaitanya made a song of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna Rama Nama Gana. Gana song. Dadakanani. And he made it as a gift. He gave this song to everybody, to the whole world. And those who accept this song and start singing it seriously, in other words, take up the process, Shoka, Moha, Loba, Tapa, Sava, Vignanashana. All difficulties beginning, you know, with lamentation, illusion, worry, anxiety, and greed. He mentions greed, loba, sarva vigna nashini. All these things are destroyed, vigna nashini. And for those serious devotees, you know, padapadma lumbha, who are greedy for the service of his lotus feet, padapadma lumbha bhakta, vrindi bhakti dayan, and he gives the highest levels of bhakti, of devotional service, prema bhakti, and madhurya ras. So, Gaura Mutam, this golden-formed Lord, I very quickly and enthusiastically offer my obeisances to, who is carrying this japa string. This is one verse. So, by regulating our life, by living according to the way Srila Prabhupada told us to, getting up early in the morning, getting to bed early at night, following the principles, associating, reading, then our japa improves. And, you know, it's not detached from the rest of our sadhana. What is your intention while singing the names of the Lord? This is a good question. Prabhupada said famously, you know, we just heard this recently, I think it was here, what should we think about? No, maybe I think it was in, we're also reading that nice book, the new book that came out, about Prabhupada's quotes from letters and about the chanting. What should I think about? They wrote, I think it was a letter, what should I think about when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? And Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna. You think of Hare Krishna. Simply the syllables of the name, you know. And I read recently, you know, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. We had, I think, his disappearance day a few weeks ago. And the question is, how am I going to find out my sarup? Right? Do I have to do something else to find out what is my sarup in the spiritual world? What's my manjari bhava? What's to the 11? I got to worry about that. He said, no. That will all be revealed to you by the syllables of the holy name. You know, by chanting with great attention and absorption and devotion. So the idea is that, you know, stop the mind. The whole thing is, the holy name is there. But our mind is like putting up so much static. If you can just, you know, focus the mind, as scripture says, from whatever and whatever, to hear the holy name and the syllables of the holy name and the sound, the wonderful sound of the holy name, and chant from the bottom of your heart. Now, of course, we're given prayers in the Shikshastika. You know, Trinadapi Suni Chena, Tarodivasahishuna, Manina Manana Kirtani Iksadahari. You know, we should hold around our neck, you know, to be tolerant, to be as humble as a blade of grass, and not want any honor, give honor to others. But also the other prayers, the subsequent prayers. I don't want money. I don't want a beautiful spouse. Nadananda sundari, followers. These are things that people ordinarily want. I don't even want liberation. You know? All I want is your causeless mercy, causeless devotional service, birth after birth. I think he doesn't want liberation. Now, even though we say, well, I do want some money. I have to be honest. Still, we should pray like that. This is the standard, is that this, when we're chanting, we should really feel, you know, I'm not chanting for any of these things. I'm not chanting for any kind of material means. I really want to, you know, this unmotivated devotion to you. There's so many prayers like that. I was reviewing the Namashtika. Rupa Goswami prays in two of those prayers for taste for the holy name. You know, we're given these prayers so we can wrap our mind about them, utter them, and enter into the mood. Agadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasuno Kamana Nayana Gopi Chandra Vindavanindra Pandatakarana Krishna Dityaneka Surupi Tvai Mamadata Ruchai Vardhatam Namadeya. Direct prayer for increasing taste. Says, my dear Lord, you have unlimited names such as the killer of Agasura, the son of Yashoda, son of Nanda, the moon of the gopis, their Chakora bird-like eyes open up to see the moon of Krishna's face, you know, and of course Krishna. You have unlimited names. Please increase my attraction for you unlimitedly. You know? We can pray like that. You know, we're finding, oh, it's dry, I'm not tasting the holy name. So pray to Krishna for the holy name. You can remember that as you chant it. I'm chanting out so that please let me concentrate on it. Please let me have more and more taste. Please let me hear every chip. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's so many other instructions for that. I won't get into detail. Read that book by Mahanidhi Swami, you know, how our acharyas have given how to think about the holy name. There's one way of thinking, you know, Krishna is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They're together, Radha and Krishna are together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But then they're apart. Krishna, Krishna, Radharani is calling out to Krishna. And then Krishna is calling the Radharani. Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's not against the law to think like that. So, the intention is, you know, to attain pure love for Krishna. That's the only intention we should have. Anyabhilashita shunyam. What advice do you have for attendees of the festival of the holy name? First thing is to attend. Someone said, you know, 90% is just showing up, right? Of life is showing up. But, you know, bring your, you know, pure consciousness to the festival. In other words, come in with you know, a good sadhana, and try to stay as long as possible. I personally think, you know, I'm going to excuse myself on Saturday to go to the Gainesville Harinam. You know, this is like the big game, you know, in Tallahassee, and there'll be even more people, thousands of people. So I'll be chanting out there. We did it last week. They had two home games in a row. No, not last year. Last week. Last Saturday was another home game. Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's special mercy there. You're giving the holy name to people who are, you know, in the lowest state of consciousness, football consciousness, my God. You know. And but still, they're getting the holy name. You know, some people appreciate the danceable, take the pictures, you know, like that. So that's, to me, that's important. But if that's not possible, still, as many hours as possible in good consciousness, and just enter into the holy name and drink in the nectar. Try to you know, have that mood. There's one more verse I'll share with you. I put it into a poem. Praying for love, you know. It says, Bhujanga dupachandaka spudabakanda chudankare narankasha bhagancada brahmina bhagna bringa brahme patanga duhitastati bhanukati rakedi priye padaspudabame mohus fai mukunda shudharati. You wear the best of crests, a crown of perfect pita tune. Your dancing glances stun the bees meandering midst the blooms. You relish love play in a cottage by Kalindi's shore. O Krishna, may pure love for you be mine forevermore. This is Rupa Goswami in his Govinda Dur Davali. So many prayers like that. So this is the what we should pray for, and when we chant, this is the proper mood to have. Simply praying, let me have more and more taste of you. Please, you know, awaken my stone-like heart, soften my stone-like heart, so that I can feel even the beginning of attraction for you. This is another prayer. This is the last one I'll give you. It says, Hantasanda kadonasa dajari purnamanasa dado pasida dham durjaneta dasatangvate nita prekshanapati babastatamati. This is the prayer again by Rupa Goswami. My dear Radha and Krishna, alas, the streaming waterfall, river, you know, mountain stream of your intense mercy has flown into the lake of your hearts and it's overflowing. Please give me just a hint of attraction for you as a guarantee of some future meeting. The beautiful prayer in his last work called the Utkalika Valari. You know, I can share it with you if you want. These things are all available. And he's praying like that. It's something like the Velapkusumanjali. He defines certain experiences that he prays. When he has that, he gives prayers like that. So this is the mood that we should chant with, just calling out in deep supplication, please let me serve you. Please pick me up as an atom at your lotus feet. Please give me love for you. That's the only thing I want. Any questions, comments? Oh, I went over time. Sorry. Budrakum? Where's that mic? Is it battery, so it's difficult to find? Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, you can add. Can you close this door? Because I can't hear anything. So much. Does this, you know, this work last night.
You can actually pull it. It's a long cord. And there's people out on the internet and I can hear anything. Well, what's that?
If you allow me, I can add some detail on the pastime of this. Nanda Maharaj.
Okay, go ahead.
Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were worshipping Lord Narayan, and because of Lord Narayan, Krishna had a son came. And you know that Diwali is the time, and next Diwali is the Govardhan Puja time. And that was the day they had big festival. Instead of offering all offerings to Indra, they offer to Govardhan. And after, unquote, and after that 7 days is Krishna is lifting Govardhan. So after that is the Ekadasi is coming. So during that Ekadasi time, Nanda Maharaj had gone to take a bath at the Nandagat, and he was caught by Varuna. Now after the Govardhan Puja, as we know, that Gargacharya had told Nanda Maharaj that your son is as good as Lord Narayan, but he is not Lord Narayan. So after this Govardhan Puja time, all the cowherd boys, they were bewildered. Bewildered. That, yeah. Is that your son is the, your son is, seems to be God.
Huh?
Yeah, wonderful Krishna. We heard that past times in the previous chapter. So now, but Nand Maharaj didn't say about it. Nand Maharaj said what Gargacharya had to. He repeated everything. Now Gargacharya had not said the purport of what he was saying to Nand Maharaj, that he, your son is the Narayan, he's not everyone. But Gargacharya had not said that. Now going to the Varuna Dev, it added more to, and saying, Nand Maharaj is saying that how is this my boy, and here is young boy, my boy, and this Varuna Dev is worshipping him. So that added more in the mind of Nanda Maharaj that, oh, he's really a God. So when he came out, again, all the boys, he's revealing everything to all the cowherd men that, oh yeah, probably what you are saying is right. So then they want to go and see that show us your Vaikuntha place. And that's where he's taking all of them. But of course, we know that when we went there, Krishna is sitting on the top, their young boy is sitting on top, the Vyasasana on the top, and they had never seen Krishna sitting on the top. And this boy, this young cowherd man, they are just regular cowherd, like a Gop Kumar going in the Dwarka, you know. So they said, this is not our place. Better you take us back.
It doesn't
appear. Yes. Take us back to our original, our Golok Vrindavan. So I want to
thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.